Midlands Radio.
Now, I'm delighted to have in the studio a couple of people from Music in Hospitals. Steve Rowland-Jones, the CEO. Good afternoon, Steve.
Hello, Graham. Great to be here.
And also to Natalie Montaharp, who's a soprano singer.
Thanks for having us, Graham.
Right. Well, look, perhaps I can start with you, Steve. And I must admit, I hadn't heard about Music in Hospitals before, but I was aware performers did go in and do stuff. So tell me a bit about the charity. How did it begin?
Graham, I'm really disappointed that you didn't know anything about us. Well, we need to set the clock back a little bit to the immediate post-war years. And there was an organisation called ENSA, which some people will have heard about. Those people that would go out and perform to the troops. Well, that was due to fold up in the immediate post-war years. And a lady called Sheila McCreary came up with the notion of continuing to perform high-quality music to people who are in hospital. She came up with this concept in 1947. And in 1948, the Council for Music in Hospitals was formed. And really, that's where we go back to. So this is our 65th anniversary of providing high-quality music right across healthcare.
And it's right across the country?
Right across the country. And we have offices in Walton-on-Thames, so we're quite local, Cardiff, Manchester, and in Edinburgh too.
Okay. And it's more than just hospitals, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's right across healthcare. So on the one hand, we're delivering music to children with special needs in special needs schools, through hospitals, hospices and care homes, to very specialist dementia units and stroke units on the other.
Right, yes, I mean, because I'd thought about care homes and so on, but I hadn't thought about, you know, people with other difficulties that maybe couldn't go to an ordinary venue to hear high-quality performance.
Yes, well, of course, that's part of it. Not only can live music have a really dramatic impact on people who have various disabilities and illnesses, but also there are certain people with particular conditions that aren't able to get to performances that you and I would take for granted. It may well be that they can't sit still, or that they are always talking, or they need to get up and walk around, or whatever. So not only are we taking the live music to people where we can have a real impact, but also taking really high quality music to those people that cannot get out and enjoy those things that we do.
I'm sure a lot of people who go to a concert hall to see a professional, you know, they would be really delighted they had such a personal performance.
Oh, well, yes. And I'm sure Natalie will explain when she comes on air the impact that she's had and being able to perform to individuals as well as to groups of people and the impact that it has.
Right. And I guess different audiences require different things.
Well, they do. And the team in Walton, hi, the team in Walton, they are really quite thoughtful. They discuss with the venues the sort of music that is going to best appeal to the audience that's going to be there on the day. Now, if it's a care home and there's people with dementia, it is likely that some sort of reminiscence is going to feature in part of the performance. On the other hand, if we've got people who have hearing difficulties, then maybe something slightly more innovative and slightly more vibrative, if that's a word, so that they can pick up the vibration, bass instruments, didgeridoos, that sort of thing.
Right, okay. So how did you get involved in this?
Well, that's a pretty long story, I'm afraid. I actually spent 35 years as a soldier and decided to work in the charity sector when I left. I left the army in 2007 and went straight into the charity sector. And I was involved in a charity that was performing in hospitals and care homes anyway. And then a couple of years ago, the trustees for Music in Hospitals were looking for a new chief executive. I threw my hat in the ring, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Right, okay, yes. So marvellous thing to do for people, I think, really, because particularly if you're not so well or have got difficulties, then something like this is a real highlight for them, I'm sure.
Well, it is. It does have such a dramatic impact. And although I say that all the time, that's because people who have not witnessed it don't really get it necessarily. But for the musicians that are performing, for the team in Music in Hospitals that witness this all the time, and for, of course, for patients and residents who get the benefit from it, we see it all the time. But for members of the public who don't, I think sometimes they don't always get it. So we do bang on a little bit to say what the real impact can be.
Right. Well, we've got Natalie with us, haven't we, this afternoon. Now, Natalie, you're a soprano.
That's right.
Okay. So how do you get involved in this?
I had a fantastic teacher at secondary school. I tried out for the netball team and I've got terrible coordination skills, so they told me to go away. And my mum said, Natalie, it'd be really lovely if you joined a choir. So this was not a cool option. However, I did it anyway. And my teacher at the time at Bury Grammar School in Manchester, Dorothy Stoddard, if you're listening, thank you very much. You were a great teacher and she inspired me to have individual singing lessons. I went to the RNCM Junior School on Saturdays and started at the age of 17 full-time undergraduate level as a mezzo-soprano first. But yeah, that's how it all started for me.
Did you have any idea you had this voice?
Well, I know I've always had a big gob and been able to talk a lot, so I guess the singing stemmed from that.
Right, okay. So you're a professional and you sing around right around the UK?
Yeah, I only left college 18 months ago.
Oh, right.
I did my Masters of Opera and I've been professional for 18 months. So at the moment, I'm understudying at English National Opera. And music in hospitals has become an increasingly large part of what I do.
So why did you get involved in that?
I've been working for music in hospitals now, believe it or not, for 10 years. And I started off with the branch in Scotland because I studied in Glasgow at the Royal Scottish Academy up there. What did you ask me, Graham?
Why did you get involved?
Why did I get involved? I was very interested in music therapy at first, and decided that I wanted to be an opera singer, which you had to choose really whether to study music therapy or whether to go for the full opera. And because I'd decided to become an opera singer, I was looking for some way to continue with music therapy and communicate to people that weren't very well and that I felt really needed this and would benefit from it. So I auditioned for music in hospitals and couldn't believe the impact that we had on people.
Right, and of course they're right up close, I guess, as well.
Yes,
and
yes.
A small audience, but obviously showing their appreciation very readily.
Sometimes, yeah. and sometimes not. Sometimes
right.
I've sung to someone and they've seemed to have little, if no external response. But then if you speak to one of their carers and they say, oh my goodness, yeah. this person, they smiled when you hit that note. Maybe something that I wouldn't be aware of, but to someone that would know that resident right. or patient well, sometimes they explain that it is actually a significant response.
Yes, indeed,
yeah.
In terms of what they have. And how do you approach a performance like that? Is it different to how you approach if you're actually on a big stage?
Very, very much so. I'm always working at getting the perfect programme. I've learned a lot of the old war songs because I've found that when I sing something like It's a Long Way to Tipperary or We'll Meet Again, because that's the repertoire that a lot of the patients and residents grew up with, their faces will light up and they'll sing along with real gusto. But it's important also to have a mix. So I have a few operatic pieces, a few folk songs, some Gershwin, something for everybody. And I'm always working to kind of get the perfect programme.
Right, yes. And you told beforehand then, you know, the sort of audience you're going to have.
Yes, music and hospitals always yes. send us a brief about that.
Right, okay, yeah. So fantastic stuff, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, and you were performing this morning in Weybridge, I hear.
I was at Oakbridge Care Home, yes,
right.
with a pianist on the scheme, Andrew Kingsmill, who's fantastic. We actually did a music and hospitals tour recently to Guernsey, and Andrew and I met at the Royal Academy of Music, so it's great to have him on board. So yeah, we were at Oakbridge Care Home this morning. Had a lovely bunch. Had about 40, 50 people in the audience, and a lot of the residents' relatives came to watch as well, which is always really nice.
That's really good, isn't it? So going back for a moment to Steve, how is all this funded? How does this all work?
With great difficulty, one has to say, particularly in the current economic climate. There's really three areas, Graham, where we look for funding. But we are completely voluntary funded. We get no statutory funding at all from the government. We go to large companies and ask if they can help out. We go to other charitable foundations and ask if they can help out. And, of course, we rely on the general public to give us money too.
Right. And are the performers giving their time freely, or do you pay expenses?
We do pay a very small fee and some expenses to the performers.
Yes.
And, of course, we then have to run the office. You have to run the fundraising campaigns and all of that sort of stuff. And we really need about $1.2 million a year to do what it is we do.
Yeah.
But that will pay for about 4,500 concerts right across the country, reaching out to over 100,000 people. And, of course, there's the impact on the family members as well. As Natalie was saying, the family members who happen to be there visiting their loved ones when a concert takes place. They see the real impact on the on their loved ones.
Yeah, well, my uncle, my late uncle, who unfortunately died last year, but he at 99, he went into a care home briefly just for a couple of weeks, and performers came in there, and afterwards, boy, he couldn't stop talking about it.
Yeah, I bet.
It was you know, a real boost for him, really, and just a highlight of the time there.
Yeah.
So that was really, really reassuring. And it's not just opera singers, obviously.
No, all sorts of performers.
Right.
From all sorts of walks of life, all different genres. We have vocalists, we have groups of people, we have jazz musicians, opera singers, rather like Natalie, and people who are merely instrumentalists. So the whole range of music, anything that you can think of, pretty much we can do it.
Great stuff, indeed. And I guess being professional just takes it up several notches from, you know, there are amateurs who do this sort of thing, aren't there? But it's not going to be quite the same.
One wouldn't wish to decry the people who are the amateurs in this world, because what they do is great too. But we focus on professional musicians delivering a professional performance.
Yeah, so it's another experience, really.
Absolutely experience. It is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's fascinating. If anybody wants to get in touch or get involved or help in any way, how do they do that?
Well, it's funny you should say that, particularly for the people who are listening to this radio, because we're right on your doorstep in Walton-on-Thames. But www.musicinhospitals.org.uk gets you to our website. People can donate online. They can find out all sorts of things about the charity online. And we've got a concert taking place in Walton on the 27th of November. It's going to be a fun evening at the Riverhouse Barn, and you can buy tickets online, and that'll be great fun. We've got different musicians performing, and it'll be a great evening of entertainment.
Yeah, it's a good venue, that, as well. Yeah, yeah. Excellent stuff. Well, I tell you what, we can't let Natalie go without a little song. Can you do something?
I'll tell you what I'll do, Graham. I'll give you a quick medley of a few different things that I would sing usually in a care home. So I would start off with something that everyone would know. For example, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are grey. I might sing something that Vera Lynn sang, like, we'll meet again, don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. And if they seem to be enjoying it, I might give them a little bit of opera. I'll explain the Italian, so they might hear, oh mio babino caro, mi piace bello, bello. So that's a taster of what they might hear.
That is absolutely brilliant. You've even brought a bit of applause in for you there.
Thank you so much,
Natalie. I'm sure they'll be enthralled by your performances. And thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
And thank you indeed, Steve, as well, for coming in and carrying on the excellent work.
Well, thanks, Graham. I'm very grateful, too, that you didn't ask me to perform.
Well, there you are. And I don't think I'm going to now. So thanks very much indeed. And that's all about music in hospitals. Radio.